Beautiful. You guys sound wonderful this morning. God was very gracious to us in the manifestations. I really enjoyed those. Great reminder. And why don't you take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 1. Want to show you something, and I think it's beautiful. In Luke chapter 1, we have Mary, and in verse 46, we're going to start. The angels just appeared to her, and she's off and headed to Elizabeth, her cousin, who's already 6 months pregnant, I think, three or six months pregnant. But anyhow, Elizabeth's pregnant, and she's an elderly lady, and God's done a miracle for her. And she's going to have John the Baptist. And Jesus is, the baby Jesus is going to be born of Mary. And she's just been told by this angel that all this is going to happen. And she's, and the angel tells her to go off to Elizabeth and says she's going to have a baby too, to build her faith. In verse 46, and Mary says, "My soul." You know, after Elizabeth, she walks in the room and Elizabeth says, "You know, here's the mother of my Lord has come to visit me." You know, and prophecy. You just heard prophecies. You just heard God's words spoken to you by people who believe to bring them forth. You know? And if you took note of everything that was said and you didn't let it slip right through, you know, sometimes it just go. It didn't stop. It didn't hit anything as it went in one ear and it went out the other. But if you really take hold to those words and to those thoughts, I mean, it'll thrill your soul. It'll thrill your soul and keep you. And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud and the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things and rich. He had sent empty away, and he hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Those are the, it's almost like, you know, Mary's got the word filled in her heart and she's speaking this out. And you know what it reminds me of an awful lot? Go to Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 2. Because I think Mary is just like all the rest of us. When something really fabulous happens, when some event spiritually happens in our life, we go back to the Word in our heart. And we go back and remember other places where similar things happened. Here she is. She's just been told, "You're a virgin girl and you're going to have a baby." And I believe that Mary had this, what she spoke was in her heart, because this is the similar thing that Hannah spoke when she was going to have the child. She was barren. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. See the similarities? And the whole thing is similar. Hannah's a little longer, but essentially all the same truths that Hannah speaks here, Mary spoke. And there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like unto our God. Talk no more so excellent, exceedingly proudly. Let the arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken. Mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that are hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children hath waxed feeble. God turns it all around. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up, raises them up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them upon among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. And he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. And by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. You know, talks about the glory of God, talks about the victory of God, talks about how God is going to break those are his enemies, make whatever the proud and the rich and the other low and everyone who is downtrodden high. Same message is in both women. Same message basically in both women. If you read them a couple of times and you go back and forth, you take the time to do it. I just showed you where they are. You will see. God is the one who's bringing deliverance to his people. When Jesus Christ gets born, and a few months after Mary speaks this, you know, 9 months after she speaks this, it is joy to the world. The Lord has come. And he's going to reign. And the process is set in motion for the absolute and complete victory. And all the things that God is praised here for, he's going to do. And there is nobody going to get in his way. Absolutely nobody. I mean, he's going to rule with righteousness forever and ever and ever. And all the evil is going to be vanquished. It's finally, my expression is, it's all going to come out in the wash. All right? The wash is going to get done. And there ain't going to be anything except clean. In she said that he hath hopened his servant Israel. All right? That's what Mary said. Go to Genesis. Genesis will start here in chapter 12. It's really what it's all about. It's always been about this hope. It's about the accomplishment of this hope and this mission that God has had from the beginning. He said in Genesis 3:15 that he was going to send the seed of the woman. We're going to Genesis 12 and verse 3. It says, "And I will bless them that bless thee," talking to Abraham, "and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." That's all of us. Because of what he believed and because of what God decided to give. Remember, it's not he didn't believe. God called him first. Says, "I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do the other thing." All you got to do is get up and go. God already decided he's going to do all of this. Abraham had the brains and the smarts and the meekness to get up and do it. With, "I'm not so sure." There wasn't any of that. He just got up and went. You know? And the whole thing's set in motion. And through Abraham is going to come this seed. This seed that is going to bless all nations. And anybody who curses Abraham or curses the seed that's coming, God's going to curse. And anybody who blesses him, he's going to bless. This is, you know, Genesis 17. This is like for real. 17:19. "And God said to Sarah, thy wife, God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with his seed after him." That seed is going to be Christ. In 26. Genesis 26. Verse 4. "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." You know, Abraham's seed's going to rule. They're going to receive the land. Abraham's going to get the land. His seed that believed like he believed is going to get the land. That's us. We are the children of Abraham. We're going to read it here in a minute. We're in Galatians chapter 3. We are the children of Abraham. The people who curse you get cursed. The people who bless you get blessed. This is for real. God sent his son. What Mary, what Hannah, and the deliverance that they had received, because remember, Hannah had the prophet Samuel. I mean, he was no slouch for the Lord. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's going to reign and rule. I just want you, this is the thing that the Lord has done that is going to put it all right and put it in its proper place. The dirt and the evil and the proud and the whatever is going to go, whoom. And the meek, I wonder how that comes out, whoom, comes out on the tape. And the meek and the righteous and the humble are going to inherit the earth and rule. First teaching Jesus did. the meek inherit the earth. It's always been about what's coming. It's always been about the future, not today. It's always in God and the Lord's mind been about the coming kingdom. Because this part here is just the test part. You know, we got ruined. The earth got ruined because of sin. We got ruined because of sin. We're falling apart because of sin. Not because you didn't eat your fruits and vegetables. All right? It's just the way it is. But there's a fix. And that's the Lord's return. When he was born, this declaration of victory, what's coming? He's going to rule over the house of Jacob. He's going to sit on David's throne. He is going to reign in righteousness and in glory. But first he had to die. He gave his life. He had to pay the price. He had to be the sacrifice. He had to do what was necessary, and everything in its own order. And whether you and I understand it or not, just like Israel, whether they understood it or not, God's getting it done. He's getting it done. And he ain't waiting for nobody. That's the thing I love. I wish he'd hurry up a little more, but he ain't waiting for nobody. I'm sure the people 500 years ago would have said, "Wow, I wish he would come back now." Well, then you and I and a whole lot of other people wouldn't have made it, right? We wouldn't have even been the twinkle in the eye. Look at Psalm 105. You know, we sing these Christmas carols, and most of them are about the coming kingdom. Most of them are about the king has been born. I just don't think people put it together the way they ought to. In Psalm 105, verse 2, it says, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk you of all his wondrous works. Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O you seed of Abraham, his servants, you children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to thousands, to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath with Isaac, to confirm the same unto Jacob, for a law unto Israel, for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan and your lot for an inheritance. And when they were but few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, and they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake. This is how God has always, for those who stand up and get counted. These are people who walked out on the promises of God. And just like God said to you in the manifestations, he's with you. He'll bear his arm with you. He's right there with you. Stand up and be counted. In Go to Psalm 132. Psalm 132. Verse 11. The Lord had sworn in truth to David that he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of the body will I set upon thy throne. This is talking about the Christ again. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, shall I teach them their children? I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon the throne forevermore. The Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. God wanted Jerusalem. He chose it. It's one cursed city at the moment. I mean, everybody wants to go there now and look. Yeah, you got fences, you got guards, you got war, you got people walking around with rifles, you got people screaming at each other for worshiping whatever god they're worshiping. Israel, the place of peace, right? Not until the Lord comes back and he cleans up shop. It is the center of the earth as far as God's word's concerned. And it's exactly where the center of the adversary wants to keep it a mess. And God is going to send his son and deliver it. And then I'll go and visit with joy. But I ain't going no place that's a wreck for a call at a vacation. He hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his own habitation. This is my rest forever. Here I will dwell, and I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon him shall his crown flourish. Talking about the Messiah, the Christ. And again, the enemies get, everybody gets what you deserve. That's really, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking for just as much forward to that as I am the other. I don't know, maybe that's just a little too harsh, but Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. See it there, singular, seed, not seeds. And to thy seed, which is Christ. God made the promises to Abraham and to his seed, singular. Those two are in the covenant. God proved Abraham. Abraham proved himself to the Lord, right? God made the covenant with Abraham. And to his seed, singular, which is Christ. God also knows Christ is going to do it right. You follow me? Everybody else is optional. You have to choose to believe and to do it. All men, God wants all men saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, but not all men want him and not all men want to do it. They want to do what they want to do. You're invited. Remember the parable? You're invited to the wedding. He gives you the garments. You just have to put on his garments. Accept the invitation. Show up. It's all that's required. Believe his word. But there are those that want to do it their own way. They got a better plan. They come with their own garment, and then there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? I mean, the whole Bible's filled with this kingdom message. It's about what's coming. He provides for us today. He answers our prayers. But if we live long enough, we all fall asleep, right? It's all good, because the next thing you know, you fall asleep, blink of an eye, next thing you know is the Lord face to face. This ain't bad. And then we can get to the other good part. All right, so go to Jude. See, God's always been talking about this stuff in his word, always. Way back in Genesis, he had prophets that spoke this message. Jude, just before Revelation. A little book. Mary likes it. She's been reading this. Yeah, she really enjoys it. And verse 14, we're going to go. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. He was the seventh guy from Adam. He prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their harsh speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. How many ungodlies can you get in one sentence? My grammar teacher would definitely say, don't repeat that. There's a point. There is a point. It's not, this is what's going to be to the ungodly. He's coming back with 10,000 of thousands, right? And God's been telling this message to people from Enoch, which is the seventh guy from Adam. And Enoch died early. It says he walked with God. He lived about 300 years, which is about as shorter than anybody else. I think God was merciful to him. He let him off the hook. You don't got to hang out for another 400 years with the rest of these bums. And then they all drowned in the flood. Not too far after Enoch spoke the message. Lord's coming back. When he comes back, I think an awful lot of people are going to be very surprised. But this is not a secret. This has been made known. God's been talking about this. Now, go to Matthew 16. I got to skip a couple verses because it's going to be too long. Matthew 16. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus Christ talked. He said, you know, the meek are going to inherit the earth. I mean, this is all part of what's going to happen. That's spoken of in Proverbs. The meek inherit the earth. Those that are prideful and arrogant, they don't get anything. And he's not talking about people who just take it from the guy down the block. Meek towards him. You can be meek towards him and stand up strong in your life in every other area. He don't care about the guy down the block. He's talking about him. You believe you're coachable to the Lord God Almighty. Matthew 16, verse 27. It says, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Every person is going to be rewarded according to their works. Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. And then all the tribes of the earth are mourn. Everybody on the earth, oh man, this is not good. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Then learn a parable of the fig tree. And then he gives them a parable. Now learn the parable of fig tree. Yeah. He is going to send those angels. Now, this is what the messengers, the angels, the saints are the angels of God. And, surprise, we're going to be raised at that time, meet them in the air, and then come down. That's us, too. Those that believe. Matthew 25, 31. And the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you did give me meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and I was stranger, and you took me in, naked, and clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, I didn't know it was you. You read the rest of it. I didn't know it was you. I didn't realize that if I ministered to them, I was ministering to you. That's the way he thinks. And guess what? It's the way you and I ought to think. Look at 1 Thessalonians. chapter 4. When this great day happens, those of us who are asleep, we're going to be raised first. Then those of us which are alive, when the Lord returns, remember, he's going to show up in the clouds. The whole earth, everybody sees him, and they are going to mourn. You got caught with your pants down for eternity. And, but those that are looking for him, expecting him, this is not going to be a mournful day. This is what happens at that moment. Verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a day. I'm looking forward to this. Until then. You know, this is what it's all about. It's not about this. You keep it straight. Because if you don't, you get all messed up. 2 Thessalonians is another picture of that event. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, start reading in verse 4. It says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure. These guys were going through hell. They did nothing wrong. He says, you love more than anybody else. You're blessed more than anybody else. You're just wonderful, wonderful people. I got nothing. I mean, they're doing the word. When Paul writes them, he says, I don't have anything else to add to you. You're doing it right. But they're being persecuted. Which is a manifest token, that persecution that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He's going to pay them back that trouble you. And you who are troubled, you rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, for that, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He's going to come, and those of us who believe, this is going to be, whoo, praise the Lord. Yeah. Be happy, don't worry. That was a great song. It's going to be when that song really works, right? Hebrews Just a few more verses. Hebrews chapter 2. See, this is what Christmas is all about. I know nobody likes you to say that word anymore. Well, you know what? Tell them this is the truth. And this is, you better, you know, wake up, take notice, because the Lord is going to separate you goats from the sheep. And he loves you enough to tell you. And I'm supposed to love you to tell you. And I do. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about it. Because if you do worry about it, you will be in bondage and fear and trepidation your whole life and for nothing. God Almighty is within you. Believe that. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. For his suffering and death, he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, of whom are all things and by whom are all things, to bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He is not ashamed to call you brothers and sisters. He is not ashamed of you. Do not be ashamed of him. Speak boldly. This is what it's about. It ain't about Joe Blow down the block. Joe Blow needs to get into the scriptures and needs to know. I watched a little program yesterday. It was on TV, and the reporter was asking people on the street, what do you know about Christmas? You know, there's one little kid, hey, what gifts did the wise men bring Jesus? Says, sandals, clothes. You know, there's people, I think most Christians think everybody knows this. Truth is, that generation died a long time ago. You got every generation, one generation teaches the next. If one doesn't teach it, it's not taught, it's gone. Same thing with the freedom we have in our country. One generation teaches it to the next. If you don't teach it, it's gone. Everything is like that. You take on the responsibility to make sure that they know. This is not, you don't get this by hanging out in a room like this. Right? I remember hanging out in classrooms and hanging out in church. And I remember thinking about the entire time I was sitting there twiddling my thumbs waiting until, ain't he going to get done yet? You don't hear nothing just sitting there. You have to be taught, engaged, trained. And the people that were on the street, there was one out of five that had it right. Where was he born? Oh, in Jerusalem. You know, I mean, there was some pretty simple questions and no clue. One little girl said buffalo. Actually, the guy said, what country was he born in? And she said, Buffalo. He says, I think that's a city. We got some real morons out there. And I don't know if she was even college age, this one that was answered the question. I mean, it's funny, but it's so sad, but it's true. I don't know what they're learning, but it ain't much. You know, it ain't much. Look at, we're going to close here in Romans. Romans. It's all about this hope. You got the Spirit. You got God in Christ in you. You got a ministry. It's called the Ministry of Reconciliation. That is our profession. That is our job in this life. I know most people think they do something else for a job. Okay? That's just a sideshow. That's to put food on the table. Your job is the Ministry of Reconciliation. That's my job. Romans 8:24. It says, "For we are saved by hope. For we are saved by hope." Right now, we have the promise of eternal life, right? We have an inheritance of eternal life. But you ain't got eternal life at the moment, do you? Because as, you know, a friend just died this week, Claudia, right? Very outspoken, nice lady. Really outspoken. Up in Winchester. She fell asleep. And she was a faithful, believing, tenacious woman. Yes. Right? But she died. The way it goes. We're saved by hope. Now watch, read the context with me. Verse 17. "And if you're children, then you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Does Christ have his heir? Did he receive his reward yet? No. Not yet. He's sitting at the right hand of God in the heavenly tabernacle. He's the high priest. But he's coming back in glory. The glory is when he comes back. So you're joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, the word creature is the word creation, waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God." The whole creation, you know, is waiting for this manifestation when God gets his sons raised, changed. "For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. We groan, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope." I'm waiting for that day. I am waiting for this day to happen. I can't wait. It's sometimes, you know, I groan waiting for this day. It's coming. Don't lose sight of it. This is what we live for. This is what we're doing. This is what it's all about. When the Lord comes back, all the things that God has promised us, eternal life, immortality, reigning with him, it commences. For those who rejected him and could care less, they're going to get their just reward. Yeah.
Yes.
Can't wait to see it. So when they ask you, what's the meaning of Christmas? Try that one on them. I think it'll take a moment to sink in, but it'll give you a good opportunity. So I love you all very much, and I'm very grateful for your lives and very grateful for the word that you have. And thank you. I think Zach and Christine are online. I love you guys very much, and I'm going to pray. So gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, and your mercies. I'm so grateful, Father, for the privilege it is, for the honor it is to be able to sit here with brothers and sisters and be able to share our faith, share our love, share the encouragement, my God, of your word with each other. Thank you, Father, for your love surrounding each and every soul, for your provision and for your help. Help us to fulfill that ministry that you've given to us, Father. Open up a door. Help us meet someone, my God, that needs to know. Let us not assume that they do. And we praise you, we love you, and we just give you this wonderful day. Take care of bless the food that we're about to enjoy, my God. And as we eat it, let us think about our Lord and what he has done for us and that covenant that he cut. And I pray, Father, that you keep us all in the hollow of your hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Love you all.